Today, we're going to talk about why our sites are actually slow, even though we spend so much time optimizing them, right? That's because there are third parties. Let's blame it on them, right? They are terrible. Those guys are terrible. It's ridiculous. So what is third party? Third party is what's loaded from another server. Very smart guy said that. Okay, ignore this. It's all over your site. Even with even with a naked eye, if you're a developer, you can tell what's external here, right?
Actually,
I'll have this cool pointer.
So the ad banner loaded from, you don't control it, right? These banners, this list is probably, in this case, generated by this site, but very often this is a widget of like most popular stories or whatever. These buttons as well, some things that you don't see, like Facebook over there, right? Analytic tracking, which hopefully you don't see at all, ever, but it is still there. And, I don't know, some comments you might be right here on this page. So these days, after we discovered widgets and whatever JavaScript integration, every site has a lot of outside content. And there's a very good reason for it. I mean, I say they're evil and all of that, but from business perspective, it's very, very good. It's very easy to integrate, so you can provide a solution that it's very easy to sell, right? Imagine long time ago how integration projects was as expensive as licensing, right, for example. And this is just drop one line of script, right? They're easy to update every time you roll out a change. I mean, if you need to be a little smart about it, but in general, it updates on all the sites, right? And you run your code on somebody else's site as well. I mean, it might sound a little evil, but it's very useful, especially for advertisers, for people who need to track the users, for people who need to remember the user from session to session and stuff like that. So it is very, very business valuable solution. That's why it will not go away, right? Unless there is a better solution that provides all of these things. So we as developers might take it, but in reality, it's very, very useful. And that makes our life harder because of that. But there are downsides. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, right? Main one is that JavaScript blocks rendering. While JavaScript is downloaded, the page doesn't download anything at all. Some new browsers allow you to download multiple JavaScript in parallel, but in reality it doesn't help too much. So it's one of the worst reasons why we have this trouble, partially because, why that happens? Because browsers expect your JavaScript to change something on the page. And if JavaScript can change anything on the page, why do we want to download it, right? Well, there's no reason. Moreover, you can change it dramatically and just all that network effort will be thrown away. Another, not really related to performance, but sometimes it is related, right? Mostly related to reliability. We depend on their servers. Those guys, we put all this hardware, paid all this money, buy this huge pipes with network, right? And that schmuck who convinced our salesperson to give put the code on our page just breaks the whole site. That's ridiculous, right? It's very actually bad if you are coming from a sysadmin perspective. Every sysadmin will tell you, like, oh, they're kidding me, like, we will have somebody else's servers in our data center. No, that's not happening. But we use JavaScript on our pages easily, right? Because it's so easy. And there is a security and privacy risk, which everyone is sort of quiet about, sort of. You know, advertisers put everyone to call saying, like, yeah, it is for your own good and stuff like that. But privacy is one thing, but the security is also another. Those guys can execute anything on your site. Once they have access to your code on your site, that's it. Your security is gone. Complete.
So
I wanted to create a short abbreviation for the magical word
single line of JavaScript.
And you can guess why, what goes into the dash, right? Like, so I think this is a very good term for this technique. So if someone refers to easy integration with single line of JavaScript, you don't need to fight them. Just abbreviate it in your email, and people will start thinking about performance. I really hope to push it as a meme, and maybe that will bring some people to senses.
So,
what are the offenders? Right? I think the biggest offender is our favorite one. The one that brings us our stability, right? That's actually why it is so bad, because we rely on them. We cannot really tell them, oh guys, please remove this little thing, right? Because they will remove you from the office. And it was a very hot topic, specifically at the Voices conference blog about third party, because everyone was so angry. I cannot do anything, you know, it's money, it's like, it's that thing that we rely on in our kind of business models, right? So that makes it very hard to fight. So don't underestimate how hard it is, although I imagine you don't already. Why the slowness is there? Because a lot of times there is a chain of brokers who actually sell these ads. Like, there is a huge industry of ad sales, right? And it's very tiered, there are many people involved. So you might be inserting one piece of JavaScript, but that JavaScript actually belongs to one company which inserts somebody else's JavaScript, which in turn inserts somebody else's JavaScript, and so on. And that is pretty bad. I mean, we already rely on one person, but now we rely on another one, and another one, and another one. And reliability and all of that, and what kind of code they put there is just ridiculous, right? But they created that so they can monetize internet, right? So they can pay. To some degree, there is another problem that is, especially this important to flash ads, right? Where they are very heavy, CPU heavy, network heavy, they have slow to download, they have computer, user's computer, stuff like that. It's not like we can fight too much, but we can pay attention to that. And another reason why we cannot do much about it is, like for example, moving to the back end a lot and stuff like that, is because those ads to be very targeted, to be very good at converting users to buyers, right? To not waste our pages and cycles and stuff like that, they need to have a lot of information about user, and the only way to do that is to run in the browser, right? Moreover, there is tracking that every person in that chain of command, right, of those sellers, brokers, clearing houses, and whatever, who serve that, they all don't trust each other, but still want all the analytics about it, right? They can't just say, oh, give me the numbers, how many times you showed my banner, right? I'll pay you by that number. Oh, come on. That's ridiculous, right? And because of that, they insert all the analytics into each call, and like, a lot of junk code which doesn't really translate to that colorful good image that you get, right? Very good image. Some perfect bundle thing, I don't know what that is. So, how bad is it? Unfortunately, advertisers use document.write almost everywhere. I mean, like one person said that, Dart, what's his name? DoubleClick, right? Their Dart system. It uses document.write, and since you have many document.writes, right? So you wait for one document.write, which blocks everything, not only loading everything, nothing happens on the page until that is over. Then another JavaScript tag, which blocks downloading, which prints once it's downloaded, another document that write, and so on and so on. So it is pretty bad, you know. And some guys said that there are up to 7 nested wrappers they saw on their site, right? 7 of those guys who resell the ad before it hits your servers, you know. So it is a reality, you know. For big companies, it might be a little different because you have direct sales and you have a little closer relationship to the desk, but still, you have a few clearing houses, you know, whatever, people. And it takes like 20 requests easily just to load one banner, or at least the framework of banners that you host. The good news is that they rarely fail, because that's the money place, that's where a lot of hardware is being bought, where everyone understands, if banners are not shown, we don't get any money, right? So reliability-wise, they're relatively good compared to others, and I'll talk a bit about that later, you know. But the best side is that they block the whole site. Usually you have banners at the top, it's relatively bad. So what can we do about it? There are a few tricks that we can do. Nothing is that easy as it sounds, you know. The first one is load your ads after your page is loaded, right? It's much harder with document.write. You can do some iframes, but a lot of times advertisers say, no, don't put us in iframes, we cannot collect the user data reliably, right? So it's not that easy, but if you can do that, then your page loads faster, users start to enjoy it, and banners are being consumed. You would say that, oh my god, I mean, not you, your ad sales people will say, oh my god, we will show less banners because people will go away and all that. But there was a great talk by Arthur Berman of Vikia, who showed in the numbers that, yes, obviously, amount of ads per page went down a bit. But the amount of pages that were viewed by those users who had faster experience went up way over to compensate for that. So the total amount of banners was actually higher, and total amount of revenue was higher, user experience was better. And I would imagine he didn't count the returns and like return value for those users, like how much more they will come back, right? But definitely it was a very effective way. So outside of technicalities, there is a reason to believe that it's useful technique. And if you're interested, I can send the links to that talk around so you can get some numbers to present to your salespeople, right? Iframes. The good thing about iframes is that you can convince your advertiser to put ads, to not put their code right on your page, then iframes save you from document.write blockiness, right? Because only iframe is blocking, but the page itself is rendering okay. It still doesn't save you from download time, because iframes sort of count in the very same on load events, and they use the very same limit of connections and stuff like that, but still it will help you with at least to render something on the page while ads are downloaded. And there is one other way. Don't use third parties to serve your ads. It might sound crazy, but companies like Yahoo serve their own ads, because they realize that they can jeopardize their homepage, for example, for somebody else's technology, right? And they just put a lot more effort into legal issues, into audits for page views and impressions and all of that, and display ads very simply. Image on the page, right? It doesn't block at all. It is as effective. I mean, come on, after all, we need, right, most of the time, for users to click on this and go away, right? And if you can do that, and especially if you get that direct sales, and especially if you're like dealing with small businesses who are not that crazy about monitoring and stuff like that, I might be wrong here, but this might save you a lot, you know, especially if you have some very high quality like location on your site, like premium sales place, right, with some premium banner location. You can be more proactive into convincing people to go that route.
Okay, next.
Offender.
I have a side project called MediaWiki Widgets, where I help people use widgets on the wiki sites in MediaWiki instances, right? And because of that project, I saw quite a few widgets and coded them up into the way, into this MediaWiki widget kind of way, right? And actually, I was very excited about Slow.js thing before I started that project. It's been a while, you know. And that whole project really opened my eyes on how bad stuff can be. But the sales is very good here, right? It's the one thing. That is like evil money thing, right? This thing is very cool. It gives us free content and functionality, right? Like, we don't need to hire all those people to develop that functionality or to create that content on our site, which is a lot of money, actually, sometimes. It is that one line of JavaScript, I'm sorry, Slow.js integration, right? Just what, easy integration with one line of JavaScript. It's so easy to do. A lot of people buy into it, and I mean, from good and bad meaning of that word. So it is a very good opportunity to deliver your service to the company. Unfortunately, they rarely cache their content, which I'll talk a little bit about, because they think, oh, it's real-time data, right? And it's real-time. We need to be split-second, you know, response times. It might be very fresh and all. And obviously that doesn't do any good to us. And beyond the performance problems, they add a lot of complexity to your pages. Consider your page being a programmatic namespace where you have your code living, right? And suddenly there's much more code on your pages, right? Much more styles on your pages that can break and conflict with everything else. And they, these guys are particularly bad,
actually.
How bad is it? It actually varies dramatically. Some people have a very good widget. They think about stuff. How many of you discuss comments? Discuss comments, right? Yeah, it's very easy. Actually, they came late into the game, but they developed a very good commenting engine, which integrates with all of the commenting locations and a lot of authentication. They did a very good job at understanding that if they do bad to your page, you will remove them, right? So they did a lot of optimization, so it loads in the right time, doesn't block anything, and stuff like that. Still had some problems, as every cooked piece of code does, but it is very good. If you look at some other examples, like dig widget, for example, which this waterfall is for, right? They can delay for up to 2 seconds. If you notice, this is when dig starts to load, and this request is the other content on the page. In this case, it's just an image, right? Nothing any complex, it's just an image. So between here and here, it's almost 2 seconds. Between, like you just gave away 2 seconds of your life, or everybody's user's life on your site, to dig, right, for their evil plans. No, not evil, they're good. They bring you a lot of pride, they're very good. I mean, they have a reason to live, but implementation could be better, you know. So it varies a lot. So don't trust the salesperson who says, Slow.js is fast, right? It is not fast until they prove it to you. Until you saw it on your page, right? It's not fast until then. I don't want to say some other names, and quite a few of you do use that vendor that I mean. actually, also commenting functionality. But significant amount of functionality on your page, that functionality is chosen for a reason. We need that. But that slows everything, yet it's not reliable as well. Remember, ad guys have money because they sell ads. These guys don't have money because they usually like convince you to pay them or not pay them, like in this case, they derive money from some other sources, so they don't have that much money to be also reliable. Again, here we don't say what's reliable in this method because that's not about reliability, we just keep. Performance is not exactly reliability, but in this case, they can be very slow quite often, especially when it's like on Christmas, right? When everyone goes to buy something on the website or on the internet or something like that. So, it is pretty bad about widgets in this sense. So what can we do? We can do a lot, and I tried to do it on the DMQ widgets as much as I could. First of all, there's not very high probability, but there is a good chance that maybe the very same content can be provided statically to you. Actually, I remember some vendors even say, oh, if you don't use to do that, just go to request that piece of HTML from our site and then show it to your users in the, on the back, not on the front end using JavaScript or whatever, but on the back end, right? Where you can cache it, or you can, or at least you can you can display it as part of your content. So it's no longer really third party. It's a different source, but it's your content now, right? Yes, I wish there were more vendors to do that, and people didn't buy the Slow.js as much as they bought, as they did. And maybe it's up to us actually to create sort of a standard of how to do that better, right? And promote it so people don't develop this stuff, or don't only develop it using Slow.js, but use something else, right? Actually, Flash sometimes is better than those myriads of JavaScripts that block everything, right? I know we don't like Flash sometimes, you know, everyone, especially after HTML5 fight and the iPad fight, I don't see quite a few of that, you know. But in reality, it's a good technology, there are good reasons to use it, and they have a lot of things done properly there. So think about that. Another thing, which I actually did a lot, is if that vendor has Ajax API or JavaScript API that they provide, maybe you can rewrite it into a better widget than the default one that they give away, right? Because for them, the default widget is sort of like, oh, if you don't want to code in our APIs, here is the simple HTML that you can, Flow.js that you can insert in your pages, right? I keep saying Flow.js, I love it. Yeah. but it is very likely that their JSON APIs for data and other methods allow you to actually create look and feel on your end, embedded HTML and CSS on your pages, right, as part of your pages, but only load data from their site asynchronously or whatever. So you can enforce those best practices for performance on them using their JavaScript API, right? So sometimes it's worth rewriting, and that's what I did, like for actually some Google feed and other widgets where their APIs are much better than their widgets, you know, because, you know, they think about it in a bigger scale, but don't always have time to develop the best widgets. And some other vendors as well. So as I said, think maybe there is a way to use APIs to assemble that on the back end or rewrite their widget to be better, right? Oh yes, and the last one, right? Cache. Remember I said everyone, all of those guys don't cache. They think it's immediate. First of all, code is not immediate, right? The code rarely changes. But in data, if you insert the dig widgets on your site, okay, how often do you want it to be? Do people come to see real-time who's faster, moving, okay, this guy is ahead of that guy or whatever? No. Once a day, once an hour, once in 15 minutes is much better than every single time the user loads it, right? So it can save you back-end time, and it can save you front-end time for code specifically. If it's using their Ajax API, obviously you cannot cache for them, but you can do something here. Now, trackers, right? I know some people here say trackers are bad too, and I really want to hear your experience with that, but it's actually not that bad. Why is that? Why am I saying that? Because first of all, they're usually at the bottom of the page, at least they should have them at the bottom of the page, right? They usually don't display anything, that doesn't give you like visual problems. And they're relatively good, because as with advertising, right, they are interested in the high reliability. For them, it's a business, right? If they didn't count something on your page, there's no reason for them to exist. So they took quite a lot of effort into, making it reliable. I actually rarely saw, unreliable trackers. Still, especially some, as I hear, recommendation engines and some, like, non-analytic trackers and stuff like that might be relatively bad. And unfortunately, they also use a single line of JavaScript to integrate, right? And that's also a problem. But it's not that big of a problem as both ads and widgets, right? And they do delay the onload event quite often, right? Because one other problem with them is that you cannot really move them away, right? Into iframes or into some other contraption, because they actually need to track that user, right? Similar to ads, they actually need all of that information about user, and they coded with JavaScript for a reason. That's why we rely on them. They put a lot of effort into understanding this stuff. So one thing to do is use asynchronous trackers, right? JavaScript can be loaded into a synchronous way, and Google Analytics actually released a synchronous version, so if it's not on their page, actually I don't remember if they put it on their page yet or not, but dig it up, Google it up, don't dig. Asynchronous Google Analytics code, right? It is much better. You can actually put that into header, into the top of your, right above the, your content, but it doesn't block anything, and it becomes even more reliable because it starts to load much sooner. But they coded it in a way that it doesn't block every other download. So if you work for one of these companies, tell them to do the same. One other thing that came to my mind is, maybe it's a good idea for you to think about log analyzing as an old days that we did a long time ago, right? Maybe there is actually business to create some software that will actually work and be reliable, but, we'll be not 20-year-old software, but new, very good software. Maybe there is a business there, right? So, there's nothing you can do again, because you can't really move them away. Sorry. I mean, the best thing, talk to them. Talk to them, make them do asynchronous ones, because it's actually in their interest to load sooner on the page versus your interest is to put them as low on the page as possible. So maybe they will listen to you. Okay, last slide. Sorry if I disappointed you, but it's a rich one. If you develop widgets, what can you do, right? Widgets or whatever, that code that we just talked about, the banners and trackers, but usually you develop widgets, right? So what can you do here? First of all, never, ever, ever use documents that write things. Please. It's evil. There is no reason. I mean, it's Ajax days, right? It's the HTML stuff. I mean, it's ages old. Just put some divs in there and just refer to that div. Or ask the user to give you an idea of that div, right? And insert your stuff in there, right? Don't use documents, right? That's not good. Again, when you give the simple code to copy-paste, it doesn't have to be JavaScript thing, right? Why? It's as easy to copy-paste HTML as it is to copy-paste JavaScript, right? So give them some JavaScript, give them some CSS, and asynchronous data load, right? And you have some very good-looking placeholder, I mean, depending on your design skills, obviously, but placeholder that is not empty, that is not blocking the rest of the site, and data loads smoothly, right, after that. Yes, there is a problem with maintaining that.
Absolutely. So think 10 times about that. Maybe the best thing you can do is subscribe that guy to your mailing list, so next time you're okay, you can just email him. Don't just drop that relationship. Making it easy to give him his line of code doesn't make it less important to keep connection to that people, right? Think about your community of developers, even if you are doing commercial stuff or whatever. It's your user base, right? And those are your users. Think how you can give them software. Remember, those cell phones are not updated almost at all, except for the newest one, and updating OS software is very hard. So do think about it a similar way as those guys did. Don't disregard us. And then you will get very good relationship. Another thing, cache JavaScript code. There is absolutely no reason for the same user to download your code multiple times, right? Unless you change it. So cache it. We talked about caching a couple times, and you probably heard that I developed this tool for a subversion to allow you to track revisions and stuff. So essentially, if your content changes, think of changing your URL. Or learning about cache directives properly and figuring out how you can cache stuff. You can set up lots of sparse headers, sparse headers to check only once a day, and then lots modified to check if content was modified. But don't just give that content every time. There is nothing worse than extra JavaScript call to the server blocking everything, even if it doesn't return anything. So invest into caching the code, first of all. But even with data, you don't need to give data in real time. There's no reason why all those users will query your database with any weird queries every time they hit somebody else's page, right? First of all, you probably want to save your money on servers, right? But there's no reason why people can't wait a few seconds, minutes, or even days sometimes to get updated information, right? I don't see any reason. So there is no, think about your caching policy for the data as well. And, even if there is some reduction in quality for content, right? If you say, if that comment might be a bad example, but if that image is 5 minutes older than it should be, that's worse than if it's very fresh, right? Like map of latest events or something like that, right? Yes, but consider other things. Maybe it's much better than not having those users look at your widget or not having those websites embed your widget at all because it's slow, right? Don't just go for idealistic view of data, right? As many of us do, I do all the time. So think of those time to leaves, right? And last thing, it starts with you. Provide an alternative to that slow JS thing, right? Okay, the salespeople went there. They needed a very good arrow to throw to easily hit the target. So you gave them slow JS so they can just say, can you just type it in right now and see if it works? Okay, cool. They've made a deal. People installed your widget. Now you don't need that error. Give them an alternative way to embed your content. Because those webmasters, those developers like us, will come and say, hey guys, is there any other way we can get it? I mean, can you just load an image, like with, for example, Google Charts API, right? Where you just put all those parameters in the URL and upload the image. As fast alternative to any JavaScript thing as you can do, right? Or maybe you can make a curl or whatever you, in your language you use, request to their servers, grab the content, put it into APC or Mankind E, to cache, and then just serve it locally, right? Think about it. It is very good for us to start that because nobody else cares yet. They all whine that it's slow, but nobody cares as much. And another thing, Flash.
If your content is very complicated, maybe the fastest thing for you to do is to embed Flash in it. Think how it downloads. Don't put those gigabytes of Flash files right on your page, because people might not have that fast connection on their cell phone, you know. But, you know, Flash was actually one of the first to have progressive rendering, right? Remember? As soon as things download, they start to play, and then it downloads slower. They had first debugger for that. Come on, those guys are smart. I mean, they were bought by Adobe, but still, they're still smart, you know. So, there is a way for you to do that, and I think one big problem with Flash is only because designers who create Flash are not usually as versed in computer science to care about performance as much, and they just kind of bridge that gap of understanding, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't first educate them or help them build better Flash components, right? So, this is all I have today, and actually I would love to hear your experience, because as you can tell, I didn't have too much coding here.